Welcome back to the Hottest Ex-Wife Ever podcast. I'm your host, Sabrina Phillip, and in this episode, we are talking about how to keep showing up for yourself or your business or your job or whatever that might mean for you after a divorce or after a breakup. So the episode title is called Rich Girl Spring, and I'll explain why in a second. But the idea for today's episode, or the reason why I'm doing it, is someone messaged me on Instagram basically saying, how did you focus on your business when you were going through this? You know, they're kind of going through something, it sounds like. So like, how is it possible to keep showing up for your business or keep selling or keep doing whatever it is that you need to do when you're going through something so devastating, so emotional, so mind consuming? And that's what I want to talk about in today's episode. So whatever this might look like for you, whether it's a divorce, a breakup, a health crisis, a big life change, my intention in this episode is to give you some specific tools and tips so that you can keep showing up and doing what you need to do. And some of that is going to be practical tips, and some of that is going to be reframing the way that we think about it. So as for today's title, Rich Girl Spring, when I got divorced over the summer a couple years ago. So I called it Divorce Girl Summer. I really love the idea of naming seasons. It just works really well for me to like lock into something. I just like the energy of that. So it was Divorce Girl Summer, having fun, going out, partying, like doing what I needed to do, getting a divorce attorney hired, moving into a new place. Like, it was Divorce Girl Summer. After Divorce Girl Summer, we had Get Hot Fall, which Get Hot Fall is when I got my nose job. It's when I, you know, was working out. I lost weight. I redid my wardrobe. I learned how to curl my hair. Like, I was very focused on just getting hot. I had Worthy Witch Winter, which was just like a lot of therapy, a lot of emotional inner work, a lot of kind of rewriting the stories that I had with myself about what I'm worthy of and what I can receive and what it looks like to be loved and lovable. And then we had Rich Girl Spring, which the title Rich Girl Spring comes from a program that I first ran probably 3 or 4 years ago in my business. And I typically will run some iteration of it every year. I will not be running anything with it this year. And I don't think I did anything with it last year. Maybe I did. But Rich Girl Spring was just originally like, how am I going to have my richest spring yet? Like, I'm going to be doing things and having fun and investing and being a money magnet. So like, that's the energy of Rich Girl Spring. So the reason why I took it for today's title is, first of all, we are officially in astrological spring. So spring starts with Aries season. That's the beginning of the astrological new year, which happened on March 20th. So happy spring, happy astrological new year. So from that place of new beginnings, we're going to be talking about how do I keep showing up for my business, for myself, for my job, for my work, when I'm going through something like this. So the first thing that I want to go ahead and say before I get into specifics is that this obviously is not a business podcast, so I'm not going to be talking about like specific business strategies. If you want to look at more specific business side of it, I have a podcast called the Sabrina Phillip Podcast. I've released over 120 podcast episodes. I will make sure to link it in the show notes. You can go listen to that for more specific business tips. If you want, you know, business coaching help, you can, you know, talk to me about that. This podcast, we're not really going to get too much into the business side of it. Otherwise, it just gets a bit blurry. Like, there is already a podcast about that. But I'm saying that first because I do want to give the very real kind of feedback, like backstory of, I had a business that could hold me through this. So I didn't have that pressure of, if I don't show up, my business completely falls apart, which I'm sure that there are some people who are listening to this who maybe feel like, if I don't go to work or if I don't sell my business, I don't make any money. I did not have that. So I don't want to be kind of like lecturing you from this place of like, and here's what you should do, without owning the fact that I have a seven-figure business and I have team members and I have systems and programs that I've put in place over almost a decade that made it possible so that I could focus more on my personal life during what was a very challenging time. So I just want to be transparent about that, so there's no bullshit. So I had a business that was designed to support me. Now, could I have made more money if I was all up in my business all the time? 110%. And also, it still supported me. Like, having a business where you can still make seven figures and like crash out for a year, fabulous, but also very much not the reality for the vast majority of people. That being said, I have been doing this for a very long time. I have been a business coach for almost 10 years now. I have coached over 10,000 clients. I've helped people through divorce. I've helped people through illness. I've helped people through maternity leave. So the things that I did for myself during my divorce were the same things that I coached my clients on. And those tools worked for me. There was not the threat of if I don't do anything, that I'm not going to make any money. There very much was a safety net. So I do want to be transparent about that. And also, these are the decisions that I made. These are the things that I did so that I could still show up and could still be my best self and still drive the business forward and not just kind of like flop around for a year. Because those are two different things, right? Like, could I have totally flopped around for a year? Yes. Did I? A little bit, but like mostly not. Like mostly I still kept it going. But again, like my business very much was designed to support this. So when we talk about this podcast episode, Hottest Ex-Wife Ever, the reason why we're calling this episode Rich Girl Spring is because I want you to think about what if you were the richest ex-wife ever. Now, rich is obviously relative, right? I'm not saying you need to go make $1 billion, but like you having your money on lock, you showing up for your job, you running your business, like you feeling confident and capable, those things matter because that affects your self-esteem, that affects how you feel about yourself. So call yourself the hottest ex-wife ever, but also call yourself the richest ex-wife ever. So one of the first conversations that I had with my own business coach after my divorce went down was she was kind of asking me like what I wanted to do with the business. Like, did I want to take a back seat? Like, did I want to keep pushing? Did I want to keep selling? Like, what did I want to do? And I told her he's not taking this from me. Basically meaning like, I am not going to let myself lose this piece of me that is so important. I'm not going to let myself lose my business that I have spent so many years building just because I'm going through this. Like it felt very much about me taking back my power to feel personally invested in the success of my business. So that's the first thing that I would say is like, if you are going through something so emotionally challenging, like a breakup or a divorce or any sort of big life change, and I'm not talking about a situation where it's something that you completely can't control, like an illness, but like, let's say it's something that you're going through some sort of interpersonal conflict, being really rooted in the fact that like you are not going to let this situation with another person cost you your livelihood. For me, that felt really empowering, but it also made me feel a lot more grounded and like, I'm not going to lose this as well. Like I lost my marriage, but I'm not going to lose my money. So that felt very important to me. The other thing that I did in my own business and that I always tell my clients is basically just like redefining what baseline is. So if you are in a job, maybe I can't give you as much feedback on this because you probably have certain things that you have to do. But if you're in an online business and you're working for yourself, which is the vast majority of my audience at this time, who knows, maybe the podcast will completely blow up in a month's time and then we'll have people from all different types of jobs. But for my audience, primarily at this time, as of recording, March 2025, mostly business owners, online service providers, coaches, copywriters, web designers, things like that. Our business is very much dependent on our input or our team's input or advertising dollar inputs. Like our actions and our choices directly lead to our income. That being said, I think there's a lot of stuff that people do in their business that doesn't actually matter and doesn't drive the needle, doesn't like move the needle forward. It doesn't drive any income. It just is something that we do because we're used to it. So for sure, there could be like a whole separate business conversation on operational efficiency and how do we cut some of that stuff out. But for just right now, if you're going through something hard and you're looking at your calendar and it's like, I'm sending 3 emails a week and I'm recording 10 reels a week and I'm doing a podcast and I'm running 18 group programs and I'm doing this speaking thing and I'm doing that and I'm doing this, like we really need to cut that down to like what is baseline, because it's not just about doing less, right? Like for sure, there is an element of we want to buy you back some of your time so you can focus on yourself emotionally. But the other piece to this is we want to rebuild self-confidence and self-trust. Because if you're going through something like divorce, it feels really shitty and it just feels very vulnerable. And it's almost like I'm a failure and I fucked it up and I can't do this. Even if you did nothing wrong, it's really easy for your brain to spiral that way. So if you're holding yourself against the standard that you had before when you had all the time in the world, all the energy, all the focus, and you feel like you're constantly losing against that, that's going to be really hard for your self-esteem. So maybe before you were working out 5 times a week, right now baseline could be once a week. Anything over than that is a fucking bonus. Like truly cut down to like, what is the bare minimum that I need to do to be maybe not even a well-functioning member of society, but just like a functioning member of society, right? It's like, you're not going to exercise maybe 5 times a week until you get to your get hot fall season. But like, maybe you could like make it a point of like, at the bare minimum, I'm going to leave my house and sit in the garden or sit outside for 10 minutes every morning. Great. Maybe you're not going to do full fucking hair and makeup glam at 9 in the morning, but you're going to make sure that you wash your hair every day. Great. Like, I know it sounds silly and it sounds stupid if you're not in it, but if you are in it, you know how hard it can be to do those basic things of feeding yourself, taking care of yourself, showing up for your business. And then you want me to post on content? Fuck that. Like, literally, you're asking too much. Like, that's kind of how it feels when you're so deep in it. So if you are in it right now, I would really encourage you to lower your expectations for yourself, not because you're not capable, but because we're literally trying to work with our brain and be friends with our brain and make it so that you always win no matter what. The reason why this also works is that if you feel great because you only needed to go to Pilates once a week and you did it, yay, you won. But you might be like, you know what? I can go again tomorrow, because you already feel like you won. You don't feel like you're chasing this never-ending to-do list. You don't feel like you're kind of crumbling under expectations you're never going to fulfill. So really bringing down the baseline of, here's what I need to do. In business, I think that, first of all, there's 3 things I teach my clients you should do every day. Clients, content, cash. I have a podcast episode on this in my main podcast, Sabrina Phillip Podcast. I'll find it and link it in the show notes, because I don't want to get too much into business in this episode. Otherwise, I feel like people are going to tune out if you're just here for like the divorce tea. But basically, follow up with your clients, take care of your clients every day, post something on social media, and sell something. So talk to your people, take care of your people, sell something, post something, done. Like, literally done, bare minimum. You wanted to do this big 18-part fancy launch? Not necessary. Can you still do it? Of course. But even just like, let's say the initial 2 to 3 months after divorce, giving yourself that time is so important to just like take care of yourself again, like rebuild emotional safety. Let's say this sprung on you. Let's say you found out about your divorce or about your breakup while you're in the middle of a huge project or a huge launch that you absolutely have to execute on. You're like, Sabs, I hear you, get back to baseline. Unfortunately, that's not an option for me. Let's say that's the case. If that were me, and if I was in the middle of a huge launch that I absolutely could not cancel, could not scrap, could not delay, could not anything, if it were me, what I would be focused on if I had the revenue in my business would be hiring help. So I would go to my virtual assistant and I would be like, hey, here's everything on the launch to-do list. I know that I'm supposed to be writing 10 social media posts. Could you write those for me instead? Let's say she's not the best writer ever. That's okay. She gets it 80% of the way there. I do the other 20% to edit it. You know, I would repurpose content as much as I could. I would batch content as much as I could. Like, I would have an energy management plan. I would double up on therapy. I would make sure I'm sleeping well. I would make sure I'm eating well. Like, I would get as much help as I possibly could and really rely on my team to do so much of the heavy lifting. Because again, like, what is it that only I can do that really makes a difference? In my business specifically, it's going to be long form content or any sort of sales event, like a workshop or a webinar. Like, my team can't do that, but they can write the social media posts promoting the webinar. So just getting super refined, dialed in clarity of like, what is it that you can do and only you can do that will make money in your business? Like, and again, if you have the revenue, making the decision to reinvest in team support for this time, I think really makes a difference. So I will link that client content cash episode if you want to listen to that a little bit more. But again, just like getting super clear on what actually makes the difference. Something that I also did in my business that really helped was repurposing a ton of content and then also batch recording content. So if I was going to create, let's say, emails, I knew that every day, especially in the first 2 to 3 months, felt very different emotionally. There were some days I had a ton of energy and I was like, yeah, fuck this guy, I'll be fine. I could write an email that day. But then there were other days where like, I did not want to get out of bed or I did not want to do jack all. So like on those days, if I have this expectation of I have to feel good every day or I have to perform every day, I was personally going to set myself up for failure. So I created as much content in batch sessions as I possibly could. The other thing is, I really had to work. I had that kind of core belief starting off of like, I'm not going to let him take this from me. I'm going to be the hottest ex-wife ever. I'm going to be the richest ex-wife ever, like the happiest ex-wife ever. So there was that kind of driving energy anyway of like, I want to be successful. But there was also permission of like, you are going to be successful. And also you're not going to feel great every single day. You're currently in a vulnerable time. Like you're currently like a little butterfly, baby butterfly trapped in a cocoon. You need a little bit of time to grow and then you're going to wiggle out and you're going to fly and you're going to be fine. But like right now, I was in my cocoon phase. Like that's just kind of how I felt. So when I was showing up for my business and when I was taking action, I always found ways to also make it pleasurable. So like, let's say I needed to write an email, I would maybe go to the wine bar and sit at the wine bar, order a glass of wine, write my email, have some snacks. They have like cheese boards and things like that, and go ahead and do that. So like, just have a fun time, send your email. Let's say I was going to answer client messages. I would go, you know, take the dogs for a walk in the park and I would be sitting on the bench while they play. And then I would go into my Telegram, check all of my client messages, you know, respond to anything that I needed to do, send voice memos. So I was really finding ways to make it enjoyable for me to show up in my business. I think the other thing is I had to ask myself, like, what is the content that I actually feel like creating? I think that sometimes what we want to do and how we are going to show up for our business changes massively after a big life change like this, just because who we are has fundamentally changed. So there's an alignment piece of, you know, I don't want to be talking about XYZ anymore because it doesn't feel as true. You know, it doesn't feel as interesting. Like I want to maybe incorporate something else a little bit more. So I definitely started doing a lot more long form writing. Again, it was something I built my business on. And then I feel like social media kind of moved to like quick, short, and snappy posts. But I went back to a lot more long form writing where I felt like I had a ton of range to express myself. And that was something that was really key. I think it's really important to be mindful of self-fulfilling prophecies whenever you're going through a big life change and you're still trying to show up for your job or for your business, whatever it is that you need to do. Because if you're telling yourself like, I'm a loser, I'm an idiot, I can't do it, I'm so stupid, nobody wants to buy from me, I'm gonna fuck it up, the business is gonna fail. Like if you're telling yourself that, your brain will find a way to make it true. Unfortunately, that is just how brains work. Like your brain is gonna be like, ah, this is the thought. Let me find evidence that supports the thought. Let me take actions that support the thought. Like that is just how it works. So you really have to be careful about what you tell yourself, which is why I suggest lowering the baseline. Again, it's not because you can't do it, but it's just because we're setting you up so that you feel like a winner, right? You could be like, my life is on fire, but I went to Pilates once this week. Bad bitch, check mark. Like that is why we're doing it, is so that you feel good and you feel accomplished no matter what. And when you do take action, like write an email or record a podcast or coach your clients or, you know, sell something in your Instagram stories, finding a way to make it pleasurable, finding a way to make it enjoyable, really, really important. Going back to the question that inspired this episode of like, how do I focus on my business? I think the other thing that's really important is getting support. So for me, I have been in therapy forever. My therapist has been super helpful through this whole process. I've worked with her for 4.5 years now, and going every single week was a space for me to really focus on feeling my feelings, processing my emotions. But separately to that, I'm also really focused on mindset work and journaling and meditation and tapping and whatever else I can do to make friends with my brain, really prioritizing self-care. So like, I know that the instinct when you're going through shit, like shitty shit is just to be like, okay, but I have to make money or I have to focus on my business or I have to like da 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 da. And then if I tell you like, oh, but like, did you eat today? It's natural, the response, because I've done it myself, is be like, the fuck did you mean? Did I eat today? I need to da 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 da. Like, it's almost like this like anger or aggression of like, I have to perform, I have to do better, I have to focus. And I feel like the more, and I said the same thing, the more you are like aggressive about that of like, oh my God, I must focus, I must perform, the harder it becomes to do that. But also if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to do anything in the business anyway. So for me, when I was creating my calendar during, you know, for the first, I would say 9 months, especially after my divorce, I was really 8 months, 9 months, something like that. I was really focused more so on like, before I would ask myself, what am I selling this week? I'd be like, when am I going to yoga? Right? Like, what recipes am I going to cook for myself? Is my refrigerator full? Are Bonnie and Clyde doing well? You know, like, have the dogs gone for a walk today? Do I need to take a shower and wash my hair? Have I, you know, had a nail appointment recently? Minor basic things that can very easily fall to the wayside when you're going through something so challenging. And if it's completely going to the wayside and like it just feels impossible to show up for yourself, I think at that point, definitely therapeutic support is what needs to happen. Like at that point, like there's maybe no mindset hacking your way out of that. Like maybe at that point, a therapist needs to step in and maybe look at, you know, is depression happening? Like what options are available? And there's no shame in that. I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder when I was 17 years old. I don't think they're technically supposed to diagnose under 18. So maybe they didn't give me the diagnosis until I was over 18. But when I was quite young, I was diagnosed with depression. I have not received treatment for depression or been on antidepressants since I was 19 years old. I still stay in therapy, but it's not for depression. It's just for like my own personal healing and processing. But there's no shame in that. Like most people are going to experience, you know, challenges in their life at some point. And it's just about getting the right support for it. So like if you're listening to this episode and you're like, I literally can't get out of bed. I literally can't brush my teeth. I literally cannot. At that point, I think a therapist is going to be really helpful. But if you're like, oh, fuck you, I don't want to go to Pilates, but I will. Okay, keep listening, you know, but like, just know that no matter what help you need, like, there's no shame in that. Like, I think now is the time for anyone going through a divorce or breakup, like get as much help as you possibly can. For me, even that looked like my housekeeper. Like I had a housekeeper when I was going through my divorce who came 5 days a week, right? Like I made sure I had help to walk the dogs and to do the dishes and do the laundry. And I appreciate that that is not in everyone's budgets. I totally, totally, totally appreciate that. And if you could have someone come once a week for 2 hours, that could totally make everything so much easier. Nowadays, I have a housekeeper. She comes 2 hours on a Monday, 2 hours on a Friday. That is like more than enough for me. She cleans the whole house top to bottom. She takes the trash bags away. Fantastic. There's no shame in getting help. On the contrary, I think women need more help now than ever in society. So just getting yourself help so that you can focus on your self-care, your mindset work, whatever it is that you need to do. And the general energy that I like to have around money that I had for myself when I was going through this is like, you need to reframe what the money is for. Like, it's not like, oh, I have to show up and I have to make as much money as I was before or I suck. No, this is my freedom fund. Right? Like if you want to make the conscious choice to make a little bit less to focus on your mental health, you fucking go, girl. Like that's a privilege. That's awesome. And if you're like, you know what? I want to make as much money as possible. Let it rip. Instead of having that be so ego-driven of like, I need to be a high-performing overachiever just to stick it to the man, which, you know, fuck the patriarchy. I'm here for it. But another way to maybe think about this is like, this is my freedom fund. Like this money is going to be the money that's going to buy me and my kids a house. Or like this money is going to be the money that is going to get us to a better neighborhood. Or that's going to pay for my therapist. Or that's going to pay for my Pilates classes. Or that's going to whatever. But like, this is my money. This is my freedom fund. Because I think that's the other thing that's challenging as well when you are going through a divorce. In my case, I had to pay out my ex-husband and give him money. So that was like also very frustrating for me because I was just like, well, literally like, fuck this. Like I have to keep working and like making money and doing all this shit to just like then give him money. But in Scotland, from the date of separation, like anything I accumulated after that date, he had no claim in. So anything I did after that time was 100% for me. And it can be really empowering to remind yourself, like whatever it is that you're doing right now, whatever you're making, whatever you're earning, you know, and again, check the laws of wherever you live. It might be different. In some places you are still, you know, accumulating marital assets until the actual date of divorce. In Scotland, it's from the date of separation. You have to check with a divorce attorney in your area, in whatever jurisdiction you're getting divorced in. But for me, like it was my freedom funds. Like anything after that is 100% mine. So that also made it a little bit easier for me to show up and focus on my business. But the big overall hack is like, you have to be nice to your brain. You have to make friends with your brain. So lowering the expectation, celebrating everything, and just giving that money a purpose which is like, this is mine. This is my freedom fund. And like some of it I was like funny about. You know, some of it I like joked. I was like, I'm going to spend more money on plastic surgery than I'm going to give my ex-husband in the divorce. That has not yet happened. I think I might need like 10 more surgeries to make that happen, but like we could get there, you know, or I would be like, oh, I'm going to make the divorce settlement in a day, or I'm going to like spend as much money on the divorce as I do, you know, on a divorce party, like just like stupid shit like that. But like, even just like giving it some focus, some like energy, like a name for it. Like, this is my freedom fund. I'm the richest ex-wife ever. Like, he's not taking this from me. Like, just something to give it a more positive energy is really helpful. I think that where I see a lot of clients struggle when they are going through big life changes is just, again, that constant comparison to who you were of like, I used to be able to focus and do all of this and it was no problem and it was so easy and now I can't focus on anything. And it's like, okay, the reason why you were able to do that is because you trusted yourself to show up. Like you trusted yourself to execute. You trusted yourself to make it happen. Once upon a time, you didn't know how to do all of those things, but then you started doing them and you got more and more confident and you did. So now we just have to rebuild your self-trust. But this time, whatever it is that you're rebuilding is 100% for you. Like it's yours and only yours. So you also get to do it in a way that feels much more aligned and that feels more authentic to who you actually are. So I hope that this episode answered that question of like, how do I focus on my business when I'm going through something like this? First up, tell yourself you're the richest ex-wife ever. Reassess what actually matters in your business. Make it really easy for your brain to win. Focus on your own happiness, focus on your own self-care, focus on your own mindset work. Do everything from a happy, pleasurable, excited way as much as you can. Try and work ahead, try and batch content. Be very mindful of self-fulfilling prophecies and make money fun. So if that's calling it your freedom fund, if that's calling it fuck you money, whatever it is, like this is my sugar baby fund. Great. Like whatever it is that you need to call it, fantastic. But that money is 100% yours. And there is power in that. And you might be like, oh, but I'm never gonna like make enough money, or like this divorce has financially devastated me. This divorce has wrecked me. I've had all of those thoughts, my friend. Believe me, I have. I have felt like I'm never gonna be as successful as I once was. I have felt like, oh my God, I can't believe I had to give him all this money. I have felt all of those things. I have thought all of those thoughts. And also, I am here to tell you, as someone who is now 2 years out from the date of separation, a year out from the divorce being finalized, that there was a time before this and there will be a time after this. So right now, you feel like you're in it. You feel like, I'm never going to be happy again. I'm never going to be successful again. I'm going to fuck up my business. I'm going to lose it all. I know you really feel that. I know that there's a lot of energy there. And also, there was a time not too long ago where you thought that you were married and you thought this is how it is. Nothing's going to change. I don't know how long ago that was. Maybe it was 6 months ago. Maybe it was 6 years ago, but there was a time where you were in your marriage or in your relationship or in your whatever, and things were functioning. Maybe they were, you know, dysfunctional, but they were functioning in such a way that you thought this is my life. And now you're here and life looks completely different. Right? You literally have a brand new life. You have a single life. You are a divorced woman, man, person, whatever that is. You are completely rebuilding and redefining your life right now. And it looks messy and there are pieces kind of scattered about and you're currently in the process of rebuilding them. So life is going to look very different again. It might take 6 months. It might take a year, but it is coming, right? Like this is not forever. This is for right now. So right now, things are a bit messy. Right now, things are a bit clunky. And also, there is beauty in that. If you can take a little bit of extra time to focus on your own healing, instead of feeling like I have to be the baddest bitch top performer in my business, because you will be that again, right? Like I promise you that, like that is coming again. If you could put a little bit more energy into yourself and into your healing, I think you're just gonna have a completely different experience and everything's gonna feel so much easier. But no matter what happens, no matter where you are, there was a time before this and there was a time after this. You will get through this. The best way, I think, to get through it is to stop making yourself feel so fucking shitty for where you are. If you constantly tell yourself that you suck and you fail and you're losing it and you're messing it up and you can't do it, That is like the worst energy to sit in. I don't know about you, but my ex-husband was very abusive. He was physically abusive, but also emotionally abusive. I was, you know, in a really bad spot, and that's why I divorced him. I divorced him on the grounds of unreasonable behavior, and I included evidence for the judge proving my case. So I had someone who was very mean to me and very verbally abusive to me. Why would I do that to myself? Right? Like, if you were in a bad spot with someone who was very unkind to you, they don't live in your house anymore. They are not here anymore. They are not in relationship with you anymore. You're in relationship with you. You are the one that you sleep beside at night. Like, you are the one that you move through the world with. You are your emergency contact, right? Like, you are the one. So you have to treat yourself the way you wish your ex-husband or you wish your ex-wife would have treated you. You have to treat yourself the way that you would treat your beloved. And there's a difference between a husband and a beloved. Like, truly, like, the beloved, like the person you're the most in love with, like the way you would treat like your favorite puppy or a child or a best friend, like the way that you would treat the people around you that you deeply love, admire, respect, value, that's how you get to treat yourself right now. And you would not give a shit if your best friend was making $1 million or if she was making 10. Like, you just wouldn't care. And I don't want you to hear this and be like, okay, well then I'll just like completely quit my business. No, no, that's not it. When you start to release the expectation and pressure and mind drama, that is when you get the confidence and the energy back to then go rebuild your business. So just really, really making friends with your brain. I'm not going to say it again because you're going to be like, oh my God, you're so annoying. You're repeating yourself. First of all, it's a public speaking hack to make sure you fucking got my point. But yes, I hear you. I will stop rambling. Just really, again, be nice to yourself, be kind to yourself. And there was a time before this, there will be a time after this. And in the meantime, we get to listen to these unhinged ass hottest ex-wife ever episodes every single Friday. And what a great day that is.